Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunaptan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitangstra He Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panjakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Everybody one more time. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Hare nama Hare nama Hare nama eva kevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatir anyata. Please repeat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So chapter 3 is entitled Karma Yoga. Karma, the Sanskrit word, has different meanings: work, activity, action. But as soon as the other word yoga is applied, now it takes on a different context. The word still means work, activity, action, but the word yoga signifies a linking process with God. That is the whole purpose of yoga. It is a process. Whatever yoga you take, there are different yogas. But regardless, the purpose of yoga is to connect with God. So in Bhagavad Gita, our founder Acharya, who has translated this Bhagavad Gita, uses the synonyms Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. He says that they are synonymous. Tonight's first section, verses 17 through 19, is entitled The Position of a Self-Realized Soul. Let us chant the Sanskrit together. Text number 17. Yastvatma ratir eva syad atma triptascha manava Atman yeva cha santushtas tasya karyam na vidyate. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, there is no duty. So taking pleasure in the self, first of all, we have to understand what self Krishna is referring to. Because the word Atma in Sanskrit has seven different meanings. And unless you know the context, then you might misunderstand. Now, in the very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, J.D., what was the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? Very good. So therefore, according to Krishna's first instruction, what is the self? Soul, spirit soul. Very good. So that's the context here. For one who is taking pleasure in the soul, not the body, not the mind, because the word Atma can refer to the body and can refer to the mind. No, here it's referring to the soul. For one who takes pleasure in the soul, whose human life is one of self-realization. Why? Because that's the actual purpose of human life. The very first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Therefore, you find yourself in the human form of life, you have only one responsibility. Inquire into soul. Inquire into spirit. That is the real function of human life. If a human being does not investigate what is soul, then that human life was wasted. Because the whole purpose of human life is to find out who you are eternally, not temporarily. Temporarily, you're a man, you're a woman, you're American, you're Indian, you're this, that, and the other. That's temporary. That's not the self. The self, which we learned in the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, is eternal. So, human life means to investigate what is my eternal nature, what is my eternal position. So, and self to, not just to know it theoretically, but to actually perceive it, to realize it. And who is satisfied in the self. Yes. You're taking pleasure in your spiritual identity and you're satisfied. That is one of the symptoms of samadhi. Later on, when we get to chapter 6, Krishna will define what is samadhi. And one of the symptoms of samadhi is that one thinks there is nothing better or higher to achieve. In the material realm, nobody is satisfied. Even the billionaire wants another billion. In the material realm, there is no satisfaction. That has to do, by the way, with the incompatible situation of the soul trying to enjoy matter. As long as the soul is trying to enjoy anything other than the self, the soul will never be satisfied. No matter how much food you get, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much sex you have, because the human being is trying to enjoy on the material plane, there's never any satisfaction. Satisfaction and happiness and peace can only be attained on the self or soul platform. That is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to get you above the bodily platform, above the mental platform, above the intellectual platform, above the ego platform, and get you to the point of soul platform, your eternal nature. Fully satiated, for that person there is no duty. The reason there's no duty for this self-realized soul is because in the previous section, which we studied last week, it was talking about how you have to behave so that you don't become degraded, that you act in such a way that you constantly become promoted. But the whole purpose of action, duty, work is to get to this point of self-realization. Once you come to the point of self-realization, there are no more duties. Your only duty is to remain in that soul or liberated platform. Just to exist in that liberated state and not come down. And in chapter 14, the second to the last verse, Arjuna will ask a question just prior to that. How can I be on this liberated soul platform? How can I do it? And Krishna will say, you can become, and the actual term, Brahma Bhuyaya. Your liberated or spiritual platform can be achieved when you are incessantly engaged in bhakti yoga. He uses the term bhakti yogena. By linking with God, by means of devotion, but it has to be 24/7, 365. Not one day a week I'm spiritual, and then 6 days a week I do all kinds of nonsense. It has to be 24/7, 365. When you achieve that status, then you are on the same platform with God. You are transcendental. You are self-realized. So the next question is, what is this bhakti yoga? You're doing it right now. The first process, hearing about spiritual subject matters, hearing about the soul. This is the beginning. When you have heard, then you recite, you chant, you speak. These two processes, hearing and chanting, lay the entire foundation for self-realization, especially in this age of Kali. So don't worry about yoga, don't worry about anything. Just do hearing and chanting on spiritual subject matters, you're liberated. Therefore, we urge everyone, chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. Let's go to text number 18. Naiva tasya krine narto na krite neha kaschana na chasya sarvabhuteshu kaschit arata vyapashrayaha. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So, generally, people in the material world are acting in order to achieve some result. That is called fruitive work. That's what is karma. Karma without yoga means I'm working, I'm acting, I'm doing something to get some result. Usually, money. Because that's how the world goes on. Nobody's going to his boss saying, "Boss, I want to work for free." I don't think so. Especially when the boss is a kripa nadura jana, a nasty, wicked person. You tolerate the boss because he makes me that paycheck. So everybody is working in order to get something. In the Bhagavatam, That's called creative impetus. The whole impetus for doing anything in this material world is what's in it for me. Okay? Whether it's a politician, an athlete, husband and wife, oh my God, yes, even husband. Otherwise, why is there divorce? It's all about, what have you done for me lately? What's in it for me? So, in this verse, a self-realized soul is still acting. That is interesting. Even though he has no duty, he still is working and still acting, but there's no selfish motive or purpose. Neither he wants to not do his duty, he's still going to do his duty, and no need to depend on any other living being. Why? Because the self-realized soul knows, I am being maintained by God, not by the so-called boss. The self-realized soul knows, I am being maintained, I'm existing only because God is maintaining me. There are 6 items of surrender. So one of those items of surrender means that a self-realized devotee knows, I simply depend on God for my maintenance. Alright, let's go to the last verse in this section. Tasmada sakta satatang karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharan karma param apnoti purusha. Therefore, in other words, Krishna has made some points. Now he's coming to the conclusion of this section. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. So the fruits of activities, that I already explained. For most people, money. Or it could be fame or profit, but basically that's what it is. So a self-realized person is not attached. One should act as a matter of duty. That is the symptom of a person in the mode of goodness. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are 3 modes of acting. You can act in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Later on in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will define, if you act in the mode of goodness, you will get this result. If you act in the mode of passion, you'll get a different result. And if you act in the mode of ignorance, you get a different. Door number 1, door number 2, door number... And they're not the same. Different results. Or as there was a song in the 60s, different strokes for different folks. That is fully realized when you understand these modes of nature. So a person in the mode of goodness acts because this is the way he or she is supposed to act. The next question will be, how do I know it is my duty? And in this chapter 16, at the end of chapter 16, Krishna will say, you will know what is your duty by referring to the scriptures. That's how you know what is your duty. For instance, I like to give the example that when you get a driver's license, in order to get that driver's license, you had to pass a written and manual test. When you get that license, it is assumed that you know the laws of the road, the vehicle code. It's a very big, thick book. So when you're driving your car and the policeman pulls you over and you say, officer, I didn't know it was wrong to drive 300 miles an hour in a school zone. The policeman will have no pity on you because you were supposed to know what is the code. So similarly, Krishna is pointing out at the end of chapter 16, you can't say to the judge at the end of life, I didn't know it was wrong to do this, because at the end of your life, you're judged. And they have the rap sheet. Huh? You did this, you did this, everything you did wrong is right there. And you can't go to Yamaraj, the judge, and say, I didn't know that was wrong. You're supposed to know. That's why Krishna is saying, you should know what is to be done and what is not to be done by the regulations of the scriptures. That's why this Bhagavad Gita is of utmost importance. One book, Bhagavad Gita, will tell you exactly what you should and should not do. Just have to learn Bhagavad Gita, you'll know exactly, perfectly, what you should and should not do. With working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. One attains God. But you work without attachment. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. The next section is only two verses, and it's logical. The next section is called Setting the Example. Text number 20. Karma naiva hi sang siddhim astita janakadaya loka sangraham evapi sampasyan kartum arhasi. Kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. So this Janaka, he was the father of Lord Ram's wife Sita. Last Saturday, we heard all about Ram and Sita, the appearance and activities of Lord Ram. So this King Janaka was a great exalted Rajarshi. Not only was he a king, but he was at the same time a saint. That is the best kind of government. A government which has a king who is also a saint, now you've got good government. So this Janaka was such a Rajarshi, saintly king. And as Krishna has pointed out, he achieved perfection simply by executing his prescribed duties as a king. I mentioned this last week and I'll mention it always. Everybody has a prescribed duty. If you're a wife, you have prescribed duties. If you're a mother, you have prescribed duties. If you're a husband, if you're a student, you're a child, whatever you are doing, if you're a human being, you have prescribed duties. I already mentioned your ultimate prescribed duty. What was it? Right. Self-realization in quiet. Very good. And then you also have your material or bodily duties. You can't avoid that until you get to the stage which we mentioned, where Krishna says, for him there is no duty. Once you reach self-realization, you have no duty. But up until then, you've got duties. You have rules and regulations to execute. Here Krishna is saying that even if you are self-realized, you should perform your prescribed duties to show others how to live. Set the good example. There's an expression, example is better than precept. Now let's go to the next verse because it ties right in with this. Please, let's chant together. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tad eve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So this shows us how if you have an exalted position in society, it matters what you do. And this is a big problem now in the world. Right now in the world, who are your society leaders? You have your congressmen, your governors, you have your unfortunate to say, your star athletes, people are following them, your teachers, movie stars, right? People do. Now, what's the problem? Too often, these people are found out to be the lowest scoundrels. Now you can understand what is Kali Yuga. You've got these people who are put up as exalted personalities, but then it's found out that the person is simply a sex monger, simply a cheat, simply a rascal. And there's even foolish discussion, I was even hearing it today, some commentators were saying, well, it really doesn't matter because we just want this athlete to be the best athlete. We don't really care about his personal life. This is Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. That people are put up on a pedestal, but they're not worthy. That is the problem. Here Krishna is saying, if a great person sets the example, others will follow. So it's important. You do matter. Your actions, my wife will always remind me, my dear Prabhu, you have to do such and such. Why? You are representing Srila Prabhupada. And whenever she says that, it's like, oh, that's right. That I'm not free to say or do anything I want because I'm representing my spiritual master. So each of us should keep that in mind. What I do, what I say does matter because it is going to set an example. Therefore, as devotees of Krishna, we should be conscious that when I am in the world, let me set the best example. My favorite story is my wife. She was working her job as a legal secretary, and one day her boss called her in. He said, close the door. My wife was thinking, oh, what's going to happen now? And her boss said to her, I am very disappointed with you. So my wife was thinking, oh, am I going to get fired? So the boss said, I am very disappointed with you. I heard that you are a Hare Krishna devotee. And my wife said, yes. You have ruined me because I used to think that these Hare Krishna people are useless bums. But you're such a great person, now I can't think like that. So you see, one person acting properly can make a big difference in the world. Sorry about that. You may not think that I'm important or I'm... No. You do matter. You are important. And when you act as a proper devotee, it does make an effect. Therefore, let us chant, everybody. Okay, we're going to do one more section. This section is called Krishna's Obligations. This is a very nice section because we'll learn to appreciate a little something more about Krishna. Please chant along with me, text 22. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varata eva chakarmani. O son of Pritha, There is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. This verse shows us how cool Krishna is. He's the coolest. Look what he's saying here. There's no prescribed work for me. Why? He's God. Who's going to make God do anything? That's the whole position of God. God is that person that can do whatever he wants, when he wants, and nobody can say anything about it. That's what it means to be God. The position we all wish we could be. But it ain't going to happen. The position is already taken. No applications being accepted. That's God. So Krishna is saying, because I'm God, there's nothing I have to do. Who's going to make me do anything? Just when Mother Yashoda, let's take us to Krishna Leela. When Mother Yashoda was trying to tie up Krishna, what happened? She couldn't tie him up, could she? Even if she got all the rope in the world, it would still be two fingers too short, wouldn't it? What was Krishna telling his mother? Nobody can tie me up. Nobody can bind me. I am beyond everybody. But then Krishna said, okay, my mother wants to tie me up. I'll let her tie me up. But until he agreed, you could have gotten all the rope in the whole world. It still would have been 2 inches or 2 fingers too short. So Krishna cannot be bound. Now he says, nor am I in want of anything. Previously I told you, the creative impetus. Why are people working? Because they want something. Name, fame, profit, adoration, distinction, money. That's what makes this world go round, right? That famous line in that movie, greed is good. Yes, that is the whole demoniac republic, material paradigm. Greed is good. Because they think, it's true in one sense, yes, this greed for material advancement, that is what's churning the whole economy. But Krishna, he doesn't need anything. Whatever he wants, this is how cool Krishna is. When he wants something, he just thinks, I want this. Boom, it appears. Wouldn't you love to be able to do that? When we want something, we have to break our backs, sweat, and work so hard. And sometimes you don't even get it. These big athletic teams, right? Two teams are playing for the championship. Can only have one winner. You got one winner and one loser. One goes home crying. Like last night, two women's basketball teams played. One was champion, one was loser. Next year, try again. Everybody wants something, but Krishna's saying, I don't want anything, because all Krishna has to do is think it. It materializes. For instance, I'll give you a good example. A demon was once fighting Krishna in his form as Narayan. So Krishna, Narayan was tired of fighting this demon. So he went to sleep. So the demon, because he respected the law of combat, he doesn't want to kill a sleeping. There's no glory in killing a sleeping foe. So he's waiting for Narayan to wake up. So he's waiting there. While Narayan is sleeping, a woman comes out and kills the demon. I love it. Krishna can kill a demon while he's sleeping. Krishna Bhagavan ki. And that's how we get Ekadasi. Because it was Ekadasi who came and slayed the demon. And then Krishna gave her the benediction. And that's why we have to fast 2 days out of the month. Okay, the point being, Krishna has so many energies and servants, whatever Krishna wants, immediately it is manifest. He doesn't need any. Another reason why Krishna doesn't want anything, he's Atmaram, self-satisfied. We are not self-satisfied. Why? Because we are thinking in terms of this body and mind. When you become self-realized, you also will be in this state. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I'm already full in myself. That's self-realization. So Krishna is already full, Atmaram, self-satisfied. And yet, Krishna says, I am engaged in prescribed duties. When Krishna comes in any of his incarnations, he also engages in prescribed duties. Why? Because he knows whatever he does, the people in general will follow his example. He goes on. He'll explain why. In the next verse, he explains why, even though he's completely self-satisfied, doesn't need anything, and nobody can make him do anything, why is he engaged in prescribed duties? Text number 23. Yadi hiyang navarte yang jatu karmanya tandrita mamavatmanu vartante manusha parta sarvasha. For if, Krishna says, I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, certainly all men would follow my path. Krishna knows that his example is going to set off in motion. Everyone is going to follow his example. Next verse. Utsideyor ime loka nakuryang karma chedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyam ime praja. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. Here we see how Krishna is concerned for human society. That is one reason why God descends. God himself descends, or God will send his representatives. Why? Because he cares about this creation. He cares about his parts and parcels. Later on in chapter 15, Krishna will claim us as his children. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all children of God. So, since we're all children of God, God is our Father. Therefore, we're all in the same family. The Father cares about his family. Some religions, or some so-called religious preachers, think that God has created this world and then says, all right, I let you, to hell with you. No. He cares. And that's why he sends himself or his son or his representatives to help us. And the question then begs, what is the purpose of this material world to begin with? What is its purpose? There are two purposes. One purpose is for those of us who simply want to lord it over, to imitate, and try to be God ourselves. Here's the material world. Go ahead. You want to be God? You want to imitate God? Go for it. Keep in mind, there's a trillion other people also trying for that same position. Therefore, you have the United States versus this, the Jews versus this. Everybody's what? What's their whole intention?
We are the champions.
That's the material world. Everybody is vying for dominance. The other purpose of the creation is for the intelligent people. The intelligent people are those who have figured it out, who have come to the point, it's useless trying to be God. I would rather go back to the kingdom of God and be His eternal servant, because trying to be God, I've come to that conclusion. I've seen that movie, and I don't like the ending. Gone with the Wind, Titanic, you name it. Been there, done that. I would like to return back home, back to Godhead. Now you decide which group you want to be in. If you're here, you're in the latter group. You have come to the realization, I've tried to be God, I've tried. I've learned my lesson. I'm ready, Lord, take me back. The other fools and rascals, I'm still going to try for it one more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Gopi Janava Lava Girivara Hari. Gopi Janavallava Girivarat Hari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jamuna Chira Vanachari.
You want to leave?
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Gopi Janavallava Girivara Hari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari bol, Hari bol. JD, take it one time. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very good, J.D. Very good. All right, I think you have a question you wanted to ask. No, you. No question? I thought you had a question. All right, anybody have a question they would like to ask? J.D.? So, the process is the same for everybody. So, as I mentioned at the end of chapter 16, Krishna says, you will know what to do and what not to do by the regulations of the scriptures. And then later I pointed out that all you have to do is learn this one book, Bhagavad Gita. Now, at the same time, the quick, you know, when you buy a piece of equipment, it has the quick menu to get you going. The quick menu is chanting Hare Krishna. Now, I know you for a year now, right? And you are now chanting Hare Krishna. You're chanting on your beads. Are you up to 16? Every day. That's why you can play such good guitar. So, my favorite George Bushism, stay the course. Don't stop chanting. You're reading Bhagavad Gita every day? Are you offering your food to Krishna? You're coming to the temple? Stay the course. You'll be fine. Little by little, Krishna in your heart will guide you more and more. Just remain steady and faithful. In the words of a certain person, you are saved. Okay? Associate with devotees, chant Hare Krishna, offer your food. You can play guitar for Krishna. Come to this weekly class, read Bhagavad Gita, and stay out of trouble. Okay? Make sense? Simple process. More questions. Anybody have a question? Yes. What is your question? Yes. Correct. Yes. Okay. Because we are in conditioned life, the consciousness of the soul is covered or restricted. The dog is also a spirit soul in a dog's body. It's the same soul that's you. It's a different individual, but the soul in a dog is the same as the soul in a... In other words, soul is generic. There's only one kind of soul. Soul. No matter what body the soul has, it's still soul. But that body determines what freedom and what level of consciousness that soul is allowed to exhibit. So here is, I assume, your child, right? How old is your child? 2 years? All right. So the soul is there, but because of the body, this soul is only allowed to demonstrate a child's consciousness. You understand? When the soul is in the body of a demigod, that demigod body allows the soul even greater facility. And when the soul is in the spiritual world, it has maximum display of consciousness. So that's part of the, you could say, punishment of having a human body. That's why, I don't know if you were here at the beginning, but it matters the choices we make, whether it's goodness, passion, or ignorance, because that's going to determine what kind of body. I'll give you another example. You're a good citizen. You're not in jail. But if you were to commit a violent crime and be convicted, you would be in prison. But your freedom and your ability to express yourself is severely curtailed. And they even have these prisons, maximum security, where maybe you can come out and see sunlight for an hour, but basically you're in confinement. So the same way, there's human bodies, but then there are lower bodies, animal bodies, plant bodies, aquatics. These are different kinds of imprisonment. So the ability of the soul to express is conditioned by the body one gets. A dog can only act as a dog. A human being can only act as a human being. So, different kinds of bodies are awarded according to the degree of one's pious and devotional activities. So, that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, one is urged always to act in the mode of goodness so that you get better and better conditions of material bodies. Or the best situation is to go back home, back to Godhead, and be in your free, unlimited spiritual body to associate with Krishna. I see you have a bead bag. I know you. You're a devotee. So if you finish up your business in this life, you will go back home, back to the kingdom of God, to exist, as Prabhupada says, in the free light and the spirit, the kingdom of God. Okay? Hari Bol. More questions? Yes, sir. Quick, quick, quick. The soul is the same, but the body is changing. The body is changing. How old are you? 32. All right, I used to be 32 almost 32 years ago. Okay? So, I know what it's like to be 32. Oh, if I could only be 32 again. Right? So, the soul is the same. Body is changing. Just like we all used to be this little baby. It's the same you. All right, that's as far as I can go. Okay? All glorious to Jesus.